Without further ado, I'd like to introduce our Al-Anon speaker for this meeting, Marilyn.
Yay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good morning. Hopefully you can hear me. I'm Marilyn, member of Al-Anon for just a touch over 35 years, which is amazing. I think besides eating meals and breathing in and out, this is the only thing in my life I've ever done for this long. So anyway, and also grateful that there is a simple format for this, speaking is how I was and what happened to get me into program and how I am now. And I'd like to clear up just a little beef that I have. That everybody always says how it was, what happened, and how it is now. Well, how it was on any given day sucked. How it is now on any given day can suck. It is still probably about the same. I'm the one who changed. So anyway, started off long, long ago. Smack in the middle of five of us, two siblings older, two siblings younger, raised in a nice house, nice family, went to good schools, everything was taken care of. My parents never argued. Now, there were times that the tension could light light bulbs, but they never argued in front of us. So, we didn't have any of the crazy going on. I did not have the horror stories that a lot of people have, for which I'm grateful. But I ended up in the same place, which to me is the cunning, baffling, powerful part. How did I end up where I was when I didn't have what a lot of other people got in their lives? And it wasn't until after I'd been in program for quite a while that I started hearing little bits and pieces of family stories, because I was raised with the great Al-Anon, don't talk, don't tell, don't feel. Everything is fine. And everything has to look good. And everything did look good. And if we misbehaved, well, that was, you didn't do that. Because it didn't look good, because it looked bad to the family, and it looked bad for the parents. And one of the things that always got me is my mother's feelings were hurt. So, and probably because if I ever said my feelings were hurt, I was just told to grow up. So anyway, but I ended up. Went off to college and fell in love with this guy, such as it was, and got married, had a kid. Turned out, whether or not he was an alcoholic, I can't say. But he liked other women and drugs and alcohol a lot more than a wife and a son. And the thing is, I knew I couldn't change him. I knew that no matter what I did, he wasn't going to change. He was going to be the same way, and I couldn't live with that. So a couple years into that marriage, first divorce. And but it started bringing me down, because neighbors would say, "How you doing?" And I couldn't say. Everything had to look good. Everything had to be okay. And I started slowly dying inside. Take up with another guy, get married, and whether or not he was an alcoholic, don't know, can't say. I drank right along with him, and he drank a lot. And he also kept, his attitude kept getting worse and worse. Now, some of that definitely was me. He wasn't happy with me. I wasn't a good wife, because I was continuing my path. But, after a while, it's like, okay, had enough of this. I can't change him. He's going to be who he is. I cannot live with that. And I left. you know, we listen to other Al-Anon stories, and I think, why did they stay so long? I remember one time in a meeting reading some of the literature, and it was going down the list of, and he this, and he that, and he the other. And I looked up and I said, now, a normal person would say, run. But here we are, and don't know why that is. So anyway, I think by the time I was done with my second marriage, I was to the point I felt like I couldn't function. I was exhausted. My social skills were never great anyway, and I think they just sort of kept going downhill because, again, I can't tell anybody, can't talk about what's going on. Everything has to look fine. I have to suit up and show up and be okay with everything, and I couldn't do it. So then I met the real alcoholic in my life, and I suppose I could say that. He was in AA. I never knew him drunk. And the thing I find interesting is after I'd met him, I had this like gut feeling. And there again, you can't tell anybody gut feelings. But the feeling was, having met this person, my life is going to change. I don't know if he's going to stay in my life or not, but my life is going to change. And it was because of him I got into Al-Anon. He was an alcoholic, sober, nice guy, but not dating me the way I wanted. So I was at lunch with a friend of mine who'd been in both programs for about 5 years and, you know, explaining the situation. And she said, well, why don't you try Al-Anon and find out what you're dealing with? Okay, because I'd been to therapists that I was always told by the so-called maybe alcoholics in my life that I was the crazy one. And later on, I said, yeah, I was the crazy one because I said yes. But anyway, I'd been to therapists and they weren't doing anything for me. The last one I'd gone to, I said, so hypothetically, I come here for 5 years and it's determined I hate my mother. Then what do I do? And he just sat there. And I thought, wrong answer. So, you know, I needed to do something. And I think it's like I needed to find a way out of what I was in. And so go to Al-Anon. The first thing that really blew me away is these people were talking about stuff going on in their lives. Wow, people actually talk about this stuff. And then I saw the steps, and it's like, look at that, something to do. I was raised with all the thou shalt not. So, okay, so you don't do that and you don't do that. Well, then what's left? So to actually have something to do, it's, okay, this is positive. Now, not that I just jumped right in, because I was figured, okay, first off, a lot of this stuff doesn't make sense. They're talking about things you're not supposed to talk about. And I just figured I'll just keep showing up. I'll let osmosis take over. I'll just let it soak in. And eventually, it'll start to make some sense. So I kept going to meetings. And 35 years later, I'm still going to meetings. At least now most of it makes sense. So, see the timing here. So let's see.
Right up on the mail.
Oh, sorry about that. Okay. Yeah. So one of the things that I found interesting in program is over the years, I started hearing little bits and pieces of family stories that had never been talked about. And things started to make sense. Because I believe I was raised by two parents who were untreated Al-Anon. Supposedly, both my grandfathers were alcoholics. Nobody ever said a word about it. I think my mom's dad was the happy one. My dad's dad was, my thought was, oh, that's why I just remember him always sitting on the couch. And evidently, my dad's father didn't show up for his high school graduation, wasn't present for a lot of things. Supposedly the story goes when my parents were newly married and it was Christmas time and there was this beautifully wrapped Christmas box of Jack Daniels. My mom suggested buying that. And all my dad said was no. And that was all that was said about it. So potential alcoholic problems in the family there. I haven't had an uncle who was, again, probably an alcoholic, as I've said, you know, a six pack of beer and a new motorcycle over a cliff. And it took him 5 years to die from that. But he never stopped drinking. He was the one who had friends bring beer to the hospital. But nobody ever talked about that. I had a cousin, one of his sons, who for years was a bright-eyed, upright, belonged to the Navy, life is great. The last time I saw him, he looked like he literally had crawled out of the gutter. Divorced, moved in with his sister who kicked him out, moved in with his mother. But nobody, you know, how's Rick? He's fine. That's it. Okay. So the alcoholism would keep sort of popping up around, but nobody ever talked about it. So what did I know? And I was raised with the alcoholic was the bum in the gutter. Didn't know any of those. And then one other thing I remember is probably when I was around 11 or so, my mom went into the hospital for 6 weeks for back surgery. Then is when they kept you flat on your back. And evidently her family was told not to visit because they depressed her. Huh, that's interesting. But nothing said. So there's all these little bits and pieces that started to make sense. And that's why everything had to look good. And that's why my parents promised to never argue in front of us. And that's why I grew up with this feeling of tension. Just something's going to happen. Don't know what, but just a little tense. And so then again, you know, when I take up with the two guys who might have been alcoholics, don't know, that just sort of finished me off. So learning all these things, it's like life started to make a lot more sense. And it also, with that, started to make program easier to work because it's like I had something to work with. I remember, you know, when we moved to Flagstaff, I'd gone to meetings in Los Angeles, grew up in Los Angeles, started meetings in Los Angeles. Sorry, Los Angeles, but maybe I was going to the wrong meetings. Maybe it was me. When they say, you know, if you've never been to a bad meeting, you haven't been to enough meetings. I went to a bad meeting. It was an Al-Anon meeting on a night that I knew that there was a big group of alcoholics having a great time, and I was sitting in this Al-Anon meeting, and everybody was complaining how the alcoholics are having all the fun, and we are just a morose, sad, depressing bunch. And I'd been in program maybe 6 months, and I'm thinking, okay, and what are you going to do about this? That was the one meeting I almost walked out on. It was bad. But it came to Flagstaff and started going meetings here. And there again, whether it's the meetings, the people, or me, I started to hear recovery. I started to hear how people actually use the program in their lives. And I started to see even newcomers would come in and I could see them getting better. I knew a gal came in, you know, dragged herself in, and her language was atrocious. She was very angry. And within a year, her vocabulary had improved immensely. And little, you know, it's like changes like that you notice in people and says, something's going on here, something's working. And that's the kind of stuff that I hung on to. So that's what I want. I want to get my life to where I'm comfortable in my own skin, where I feel like I can cope with the world. Because when I came into program, the best part of the day was going back to bed. You know, it's like, I got to get up in the morning. Okay, fine. When is it done? And things that I was doing for fun. I did lots of things for fun. I hiked, I scuba dived, I traveled, I cooked, I gardened. I did any number of things that people would say, well, that's fun, that's hobbies. And to me, it was a matter of checking it off the list. Yep, got that done today. I'm having fun. And can I go to bed now? And so I wanted what other people had. I wanted a way to get out of where I was. And I wanted to be able to feel comfortable in my own skin so that whatever was going on around me, I could be okay with. Didn't mean I had to like it, but I could be okay with it. I didn't have to let it beat me down anymore. One of the things that came to mind after, I think I've been in program about 13 years, and it's like working it. When do you know when it settles in? And I was on a trip in Italy with a tour, and everybody wanted to stop. You know, it was like pit stop, whatever. So, and it was about 9 o'clock at night. So the bus driver found this tourist shop that maybe opened up for us. I don't know. Anyway, so everybody gets off the bus and everybody runs off to the bathroom. Didn't have to go to the bathroom. Fine, great, swell. But a little later on, okay, my turn. Go in there, come back out. No bus. No people. And my very first thought was, he left without me because I was with my husband. And he did have a habit of disappearing. But my very first thought was, he left without me. My next thought was, old tape. And the thought right after that was, okay, God, what do we do? Because I'm standing there at 9 o'clock at night on a curb in Italy, no purse, no ID, no passport, no phone, no nothing, nobody around. And that little, okay, God, what do we do now? Brought my shoulders down a bit. Okay, everything's going to be fine. And there'd been a gift shop that I'd been in a little earlier. Didn't have the windows on the side I was standing, but luckily the door was open and everybody was inside. And they were all wondering where the bus went to. Because the bus driver had parked the bus elsewhere and didn't tell anybody. So... It's like it all worked out. But then when I hit on that, okay, God, what do we do? I knew program had sunk in. I knew it was finally a part of me. There is also a part of me that thought, so God, was this a test? Because 2 months later, my husband died. And with the myriad of thoughts racing all over, the one was, okay, God, what do we do? And that got me through. That got me through. And all the people in program. And if I cry, well, 20 years later, I'm still going to cry. And all the people in program just showed up and carried me and took care of me. One of the things that I think I always wanted, even though nice parents, 4 siblings, nice upbringing, I wanted to feel like I had a family who cared that I existed. Now, why I didn't pick that up in my family, haven't a clue. That's me. Lots of stuff I didn't get. My parents always said good things about me. I didn't believe them. So I ended up with the low self-esteem like the people whose parents tell them they're ugly and stupid. How did that happen? Standard didn't relate to my parents. That's a given on any family. But I felt like I wanted a family, a community, somebody that cared that I existed. And when my husband died, that's what I got. And again, the weekend of his funeral, we had a Friday night speaker meeting that he had started, or been one of the people to start in Flagstaff. Place was jammed. A friend of his who had been scheduled to speak anyway, I called him up and said, well, you know, Frank just died. Do you still want to speak? He says, I'll be there. And he talked. It was the first time my parents had ever been anywhere around AA. There was a whole weekend of program people. And when it was done, my mom said to me, that was the most spiritual weekend she had ever had. And she was raised good Catholic, go to church, do all that stuff. This is where the spiritual part kicks in. I remember the first AA meeting I went to, very large meeting, and everybody stood up to say the Lord's Prayer. And my thought was, this isn't church. There is something going on here. And so I've gotten a lot out of program over the years, learned some family history so things make more sense. Done a lot of service work, which was really good to get me back into being able to function. Did all of the, you know, as most of the extracurricular stuff, like the roundups. I had a commitment at the Flagstaff Roundup for years. The first year I didn't have a commitment, it was a treat because I could actually go talk to people instead of have to run off and do something. But all those commitments got me back able to function again. Of course, now when people say, so Marilyn, how do you do this? It's like, don't ask me. Please don't ask me. But it's nice. People think I can actually do something. So let's see. And we are here today and participating. A friend of mine asked me if I could speak, and I said, sure. Right now, for the last 3 weeks, I've had painters and landscapers, and the mold remediation person just showed up yesterday, a day late, you know, all over my house. I've been working on about 4 hours of sleep a night for the last 3 weeks. Has not been good. I'm sort of surprised I can function today. But I wasn't going to back out of this. It's like the same as AA. You know, when you get an Al-Anon request, you say yes. And it has made all the difference in the world to my life. Because it's it's even taught me how to do email. Long ago when I was secretary for the district and everybody wanted the minutes by email. I guess I'm going to have to learn how to do that. So it's amazing things you learn. And I think one of the things that I want to touch on, I know in our book of How Al-Anon Works, it's like after you read the first couple of chapters, there's an alcoholic behind every tree, an alcoholic around every corner, and it's all their fault. They are behaving badly, and they're the reason we have problems. I mean, it's an amazing book. which can leave you kind of jumpy, you know. But I've also heard it said when one alcoholic gets into program and gets sober, 10 other people can sleep at night. I was at a meeting one time with my sponsor, and it was an AA meeting, and there was somebody piped up from the back, yeah, so I'm an alcoholic, but I'm not affecting anybody else's life. And she and I both had to hold each other down. We were both ready to go strangle him. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, the alcoholics don't see it. And they talk it about as a disease of perception. They don't see it. And I know of somebody who'd been in program, been in AA, long time. And it's like, you know, 50 years into program. And he said, and I finally heard an Al-Anon speaker, and I finally understood the grief and the pain. And it's really the grief and the pain. You know, destruction's bad enough, whether it's burning down the house or crashing cars every other week. Destruction's bad enough, but the grief and the pain of having to watch somebody kill themselves and you're powerless is, you know, and I'm thinking, I have one son, great kid, he's 52, never had a problem that I know of, and I'm grateful because I know the people who watch their kids die, and I'm thinking bad enough a spouse, bad enough dealing with a parent, but to watch your child go there and you can't do anything, that is really when, okay, God, what do we do now? That's really hard. And that's why I think, you know, the miracle of AA, that there is a program that people do stay sober, which is incredible. And I'm thinking, even for the people who come in and maybe only get a year and go back out again, they had 1 year of something good in their lives. And I know, you know, for all the various people I know, yeah, there are some I wish would take the sort of, you know, flying leap off the high cliff. But I would never wish them to get drunk again. Because that state of, they talk about the incomprehensible demoralization. I got that in Al-Anon. I know that feeling. Don't want to go there. Never want to have that again. Wouldn't wish it on anybody. So grateful for AA and how much good it has done in the world is absolutely incredible. Grateful for Al-Anon. I'm surprised the rooms don't have more people in them, but Al-Anons are very stubborn, stoic. We don't have a problem. So, you know, but Al-Anon has taught me how to live. It's taught me how to accept how people are. Doesn't mean I have to like it. And I even say you can love somebody unconditionally, but you don't need to let them in the front door. And so it's taught me how to deal with my parents, because for years I'm thinking I was not the daughter they thought they raised. And how do I make amends for that? You know, do I roll out the scroll for all the things that I did that they didn't like? To me, for them and for me, I thought it was better to do a living amends and not do that stuff anymore. To do a living amends and to show up. Because it had gotten to the point, I was very uncomfortable around them. My mom was very judgmental. I did not want to do that, which there again, back up a little bit. I did not want to be judgmental, so I threw that out the window. Bad idea. That got my first two husbands. But I figured, okay, show up, because that's really what they want. They just want me to be there. And then listen to them and keep my judgment to myself and let them talk about whatever it is they want to talk about. I remember my mom one time saying, you know, if I ask this daughter-in-law how her mother is, she gets upset. If I forget to ask that daughter-in-law how her mother is, she gets upset. Like, who am I talking to? What do I get to say? And she looked at me and said, and you, I can tell anything to. And when she told me that talking to me made her feel better, it's because I just listened. And that's what I learned in Al-Anon, listen. And come to find out, really all she ever needed was somebody to talk to, because she was raised with, you don't talk. So our relationship improved immensely. With my dad, he talked business, politics, and economics. He didn't read books unless they were business things. He didn't watch movies. He didn't do his idea of exercise was a swift game of ping pong. That was about it. So we really didn't have anything in common. But I figured, you know, when they talk about going to the hardware store for a loaf of bread, say, well, I'm at the hardware store now. Do I need a hammer or a screwdriver maybe while I'm here? So what does Dad have to say? Let him talk. Maybe I'll learn something. Such that when he got Parkinson's and dementia, I could almost carry on a conversation with him, because by then I knew enough economics, politics, and business that I could keep a conversation going, and he had somebody to talk to, even though it was a little weird conversation and he still knew more than I did. But I could be present and participate in what he was going through. And I remember, you know, when the dementia really progressed, that he didn't remember who I was. And people would say, oh, that must be awful. He doesn't remember who you are. How terrible, your own father. And I said, no, it's fine. He knows I'm a nice person to be around. That's all that counts. And there again, that was program. I couldn't have done it without program. I couldn't have done it without the support of everybody else just showing up and listening to their stories and how they dealt with things and how they used program in their life. Because I'm thinking without program, I would have been where I was 35 years ago and probably a lot worse. I think I was ready to be locked up for a little while. Thank you very much. Because I just couldn't cope. Al-Anon brought me back to the world. And on the days when the world is still a little iffy, because it happens, it still sucks on any given day. I'm a lot better with it. And I do a lot of, not perfectly, definitely, you know, prayer, meditation, not so much. My brain takes off in too many different directions. Prayer, definitely. And again, one of the things I learned in Al-Anon, prayer. Say thank you. It's like I was raised with please, 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 or I was raised with you're so great and wonderful, give me. You know, those are the kinds of prayers I remember. And I said, wait a minute. If you say thank you, because when we're little kids, we're taught to say please and thank you. Thank you, God. That completes the circle. That brings me my conscious contact with my higher power. I thank you for the hot water right after the hot shower in the morning. Thank you, God. I thank you for the rain when it does rain or when it doesn't rain. I thank you some days when it's really bad. I say, thank you, God, for making some rats cute. Those are called squirrels. I can get through the day. And again, you know, it's just, it's all program. And I probably could go on another 3 hours. I probably could maybe make another minute. I'm trying to think of what else. A lot of it is just what I've learned here. Learned to grow up. Learned that it's okay if somebody hurts my feelings. All right. What do I do with it? And one of the things I like to say is don't take offense. Take a look. If somebody has said something or done something that bothers me, what's going on with me that isn't settled? Because if I'm pretty much settled in my own skin, I can look at what's going on. I can look at, okay, do they have a point? Maybe I do need to change something. Or I can say, they don't have a point. That's just their perception. Okay. And I don't have to snap back at them. Sometimes I may have to stand up for myself, but I can say it nicely. But again, you know, I can get on with my life. And just all the different things that I've learned and the family that I've chosen. Know lots of different people in program. And I think the one thing, again, from the fact that they talk about what's really going on, from the fact that they try and pursue a spiritual life, a connection with a higher power, or something other than themselves, you know, boy, I'm really glad I don't run the show. So I was telling a business associate a few weeks ago, it's like, don't put me in charge or it'll be dead in 3 weeks. So yeah, glad somebody else is in charge. But I think, again, one of the things that I found, people in program are nice. They're nice to me. I really like that. Now, there's always the oddballs that are everybody, you know, every group has one. Every family has one. But I've found that they're nice to me. They're accepting of me. Whatever it is I do, they're happy to see me. I mean, I remember times when I was told specifically to go away. I remember times walking up to a group of people and the conversation would stop and they'd all leave. And I'd say, what? Do I need to change my soap? I mean, you know, what's going on? And I don't get that. There's something in program that makes people nicer. And I really like that. And I like being around that. And so... yeah, I am really, hate to say it because I hate to be grateful for anything, but I am grateful to Al-Anon and AA. It's, I've heard it said. It's turned me into the person that my parents thought they raised. In fact, one time my mom said, you know, out of the five siblings and you're in the middle, you seem to be the more squared away one of the bunch. And I didn't tell her about Al-Anon, never talked about it. But I was just, yep, that's why. And my siblings could use it, and they don't. You don't talk about that stuff. So I just practice my program, let them go live their lives. There's one time I was running through a various little sayings with my mom of the let go and let God and one day at a time and this too shall pass and, you know, all the various little slogans. And she finally said, "Where do you get that stuff?" Well, right here. And it works. I remember the first time I heard the slogans. Oh, gag. Use them all the time. They work. So, grateful to be here. Grateful, thank God, for a lovely day. It's not raining today. Nice to see everybody and be around people that I can feel safe with. I mean, there again, I've known some people in AA that's like, whoa, baby, you got a history. But I trust them with my life. How does that go? That was the one thing about my husband, my dear late husband. For all of his alcoholic issues, I trusted him. He made me feel safe. Don't know, but that's what happens here. And I like it. So I guess on that happy note, I think I'm done. And thank you all for showing up. And hope you all go on to have a great rest of your day. Thanks. Woo. Bye. Woo.